Good evening, New York. Thank you for tuning in to The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM here in New York City and online everywhere at WNYU.org. I'm your host, Aria Young. Today is November 16th, Wednesday, and we have a very special episode for you today because we're here with Danielle Elliman and April Fellers. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, of course. So Danielle and April are the co-hosts of Good Sex at NYU podcast. Good Sex at NYU is a new podcast created by the NYU Student Health Center and Sexual and Relationship Respect Services. So before we start our interview and start asking April and Danielle here, I want to play a little clip of the show promo of the podcast.
Good sex means communication with myself first, because I need to know what I want and who I want it with. And then I need to be able to communicate with that person, and they have to sign on and consent and then engage with me. And then it's usually a cuddle afterwards.
Welcome to Good Sex at NYU, a podcast about sex, relationships, health, and mental health in a sex-positive space. I'm Danielle Elliman, Associate Director of Sexual and Relationship Respect Services at Counseling and Wellness Services. I use she, her pronouns.
And I'm April Fellers, a sexual health educator and nurse at the Student Health Center. I also use she, her pronouns. We are two white, cisgender, heterosexual, female-identifying clinicians, one with a medical background and the other with mental health experience, who seek to create a space that is inclusive of all identities, backgrounds, and perspectives.
I remember from a really early age, my dad sat me down and he said, I had this agreement with my father and I want to have the same agreement with you, that before you do anything that's going to change you, whether it's drinking or smoking or having sex, anything that you do, I want you to wait 24 hours before you make the decision. And I want you to talk to somebody. It doesn't have to be me, but I want you to wait 24 hours and really think about the choice you're going to make.
All right. I think that's a good place to pause. I think that kind of gives us like a little snippet of like what the show is about. So welcome. Yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself first?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Danielle Elliman. You heard me in the podcast. I am the Associate Director of Sexual and Relationship Respect Services at Counseling and Wellness Services. Long name. We do a lot of really wonderful things. Of course, we provide mental health for students, but we also help people in the immediate aftermath of experiencing some type of harm. So if they've experienced sexual relationship harm, then we're going to help them navigate various different systems like police or Title IX, safety planning. We also want to work to prevent sexual and relationship harm. And so that's where this podcast is, you know, part of our efforts to develop education and content so like students know where to go, but also have some, you know, good places to reference when it comes to sex and relationships.
Awesome. Great.
And I'm April Fellers. I am a nurse at the Student Health Center. My official title is Public Health and Campus Outreach Nurse. And I, you know, do some of the clinical work. If you've ever come to the Student Health Center and seen a provider there, you've probably also seen one of our nurses. And so that might be me. You could get STI testing done there. Lots of just primary care at the Student Health Center. If you've gotten a flu shot somewhere other than the health center, maybe that was part of our team as well, doing pop-ups. So yeah, really happy to be here.
That's so cool. I feel like you two both do very important works here at NYU. So tell us about how this podcast came to be. Like, you know, we just heard the promo and we kind of have an idea of what it is. Tell us how it started. Why do we need this podcast now?
It's a great question. When I first started, this was during COVID, and I didn't really know much about NYU. I was still sort of learning. But we decided that, you know, everything shifted as a result of COVID. You know, everyone's at home, and we wanted to provide lots of different resources and workshops. And so I got together with NYU's sexual health expert, or our sexpert, who is Alyssa LaFosse. Uh-huh. She's amazing. And we did a workshop called Let's Talk About Sex. Really wanted to talk about sex in the shifting times, but also just create a safe, sex-positive space for students to come and ask their questions, whether it be, you know, from a medical perspective or like the relationship mental health perspective. And we had such great conversations in those workshops. And oftentimes it was a really small group, which we really appreciated because people could really get some of their personal questions answered. And my thought process as I was helping, you know, to co-facilitate this workshop was, I wish more students had access to this, to be able to listen in on our conversation.
Right.
You know, Alyssa and I having the conversation, but students interacting, asking their questions, because they're all really good questions. And it really showed the gap of what kind of sexual health education they were getting, what kind of information they have around communication and boundaries. Was all, it varied so much based on like where you came from, your culture, your background, what kind of, you know, school systems you were in. So I feel like that's where the idea sort of derived from. And I think that when it came time to do this, it was like, oh, like, how do we all feel about being recorded and talking about this stuff? And so as a result, we had to find someone who was willing to be recorded with me on the podcast. And that's where April, because she also has some background in sexual health and reproductive health. So she came in as my co-host, because we really wanted to be from a frame of both mental health and physical health.
Right. That's so cool. Yeah. So it's like both. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Like when you introduced yourself, I feel like you both are in different fields, but like really contributing like different things to the same topic and working towards the same cause. That's really cool. Okay. Do you feel like, because you were saying like, you know, the sexpert, and like I only very recently learned about the sexpert, and that's definitely something that I want to check out. But I feel like not a lot of students know about these things. Like, at least, I mean, my experience going to the Student Health Center and going to like the, what do you call it, like the sexual health office,
like a primary care.
Yeah, primary. Yeah. Like, my experience has been like very positive, but I also feel like a lot of people just don't know about it or don't really use it. So do you feel like is your show being promoted well? Do you feel like it's making an impact right now? You know, you're only on your first season, and I think your first episode was released in September. So tell me how it's going now and how it's been received by the community.
Yeah, well, first to kind of go back what you said, like, not you just recently learned about this expert. I'm just going to plug her a little bit more. She is amazing, and you can schedule visits with her both in person or virtually. And she does a lot of work around, you know, if somebody wants to be on PrEP and they've never heard about it or they've never learned much about it, they can meet with her to go over everything that they can expect when they are on PrEP. And then any type of sexual or relationship question that you have, you can email her, you can meet with her in person, and she just has so much knowledge and has heard everything, so you will not scare her or surprise her. And yeah, she's just such a great resource.
Is she like a doctor or like a counselor?
She has a public health degree.
Gotcha.
And yeah, with a specific focus on like sexual health.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and we often work closely together as well, because sometimes she'll be focused a little bit more on the public health side of things, on the health and connection. And if she can't respond to something, or she thinks that might be a little bit better for someone either in counseling or me specifically working with people who experience harm, then we're going to collaborate really like closely together to be able to help the student with whatever their question or concern might be. So she's a really great resource.
Yeah. And I think that the podcast has helped us you know, in both promoting and people listening, has helped people understand more about some of these services. I think that was part of our goal, right, is to kind of teach people about some of these resources that are available that they might not have known. You know, people that don't necessarily engage with the Student Health Center might be people that don't have the student health insurance. They might have their own insurance, whether it's their parents or just their own private insurance. And, you know, we talked about this in our STI episode, but anybody, regardless of what insurance they have, can come to the Student Health Center and get STI testing. And they don't have to have the student health insurance. Like there are several things at the Student Health Center that are available to everybody. Flu shots, COVID shots, like those kinds of things are available to everybody regardless of insurance. And so, I think that the podcast is we're hoping that that can help people get familiar with the services that we have. And, even just going out and promoting the show, Danielle was just telling me that people are like, oh, I didn't know that these things existed. And so I think even just getting out to promote the podcast has helped people learn about the services as well.
Yeah, and I think we could always use more promotion. I mean, we have a huge community here, and we're not only looking to engage with students here at the NYU site, but throughout all of our global campuses as well. So really wanting to get more people aware of the podcast so they can have more access to information, services, but also, the other goal of the podcast is to shift sort of how we're thinking about and framing some of these issues, really wanting to provide people with information and power in their own sexual lives and relationship lives, but to shift how we think about some of these things, like some of those like oppressive norms that we've carried with us from, our culture, from our family, and hopefully make those changes, hopefully to be less judgmental on ourselves and on others. So that's another one of our goals that, seems a little lofty, but we're hopeful.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. I'm glad you mentioned like all these like oppressive norms that we have. I'm really curious if NYU students are like when they reach out to you, are they hesitant? Are they open about it? Because I guess my experience, I grew up in like an Asian society. I grew up in China. So I feel like sex was always like this like taboo thing. And then when I came to the States, I went to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. So that's even like worse. I remember my first like sex ed experience in high school was this like Catholic nurse who came in and told us basically like you're gonna die if you have sex before marriage. I know, pretty much. And I remember I'm going on a tangent to okay. share my story, but I in high school my mom made me get the HPV vaccines. Mm-hmm. And I was really grateful. Like I got that. So I raised that question in like the sex ed class with the nurse. I was like, so like, what about the HPV vaccines? Cause she was talking about like how these, you could get STDs mm-hmm. if you have sex. And I was like, well, what about the vaccines? And she's like, oh, we don't think that like parents should, go in with the assumption that their kids are going to have premarital sex. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. So that was like the attitude, of at least my upbringing.
Well, but I think that's a lot of people. There's a lot of fear.
Absolutely.
And like one of the things about our show is that we will interview some of our professors, some of our staff, and some of our students that talk about their journey. And one of our questions that we commonly ask is, what kind of sex education
right.
did you get? And what was that like for you? And I think a common theme that that we see is a fear tactic. Mm. Like that sex is bad, sex is evil. If you do it, then you're going to have all these negative consequences. We don't see how to engage in pleasure. We don't know that there's positive sides to it, too. You deserve to have all of the information, not just, yes, there are risks, but you deserve to know, like, what are the risks and what are the benefits? I think we leave out some of the benefits mm-hmm. of what sex and masturbation. Mm-hmm. Let's be fair. We also don't talk about masturbation enough. So, like, let's talk about all of these things. Let's destigmatize it because, if we can talk about it, then maybe we can engage in it in a healthy way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's fantastic. Do you feel like NYU students are generally willing to talk about this? Or like, how do you feel like the overall environment at NYU is in terms of sexual health and sexual liberation, I guess?
I think kind of something that Danielle mentioned earlier is just that, everybody is coming here from all over and kind of has their own different experiences. And I think that we've seen that in the people that we've interviewed. But I think that the thing that I think this is just kind of my thinking based on the conversations that we had, that because people have so little in the ways of sex ed coming in, everybody kind of has their own thoughts and ideas of what they think they should, quote unquote, should be doing or should have done. And I think that I think that people just haven't gotten good enough education. And so everybody's coming to college with their own expectations, their own ideas of where they should be, what they should be doing. And I think that is preventing people from having authentic, vulnerable, true to themselves kinds of relationships, because they're kind of acting in a way that they think they should be, as opposed to the way that they want to be, true for themselves. And so I think that from both domestic and international students, you know, we've heard a wide range of, just from absolutely no sex ed at all to just really bad sex ed. And I think I've had experiences in the health center where we ask people, you know, when was your last period? Or is there any chance that you could be pregnant? And people giggle and laugh because these are just conversations they've never had mm-hmm. or never thought about. Or they just think it's so absurd that we would be asking them if they could be pregnant if they're not even thinking about having sex, you know, those kinds of things. And so I think that people are kind of all over the spectrum of experience. And we talk a lot on the podcast about, like, whatever you're doing or not doing is completely fine and completely normal. And you just have to kind of figure out what's right for you and not do anything because you think that's what other people are expecting of you. And that, you know, college is a way to kind of explore and figure yourself out. But we really just want people to make their own decisions and not feel pressured or like they're doing something they don't want to do because somebody else is making that, or, you know, is influencing that decision.
Yeah, and just to add, like, we can't generalize for the whole population. That's super hard. But I think one of the things that is really important is that it's not something that is really taught. I mean, there's sex education, and we've talked about that a little bit, like how bad it is. But we're also not learning how to regulate our emotions mm-hmm. in class. We're not learning how to communicate well. We're not learning about boundaries. You know, those are not things that we're taught in a classroom setting in elementary school, in middle school. I mean, maybe if you go to a really progressive school, I'm sure they're out there someplace. But I think it's really a small amount of the population that is going through that. And so we're not getting any of that. So we're left to, and I'm speaking from my own experience. I remember what college was like. It was like, I didn't know what boundaries were until I was in my mid-20s. You know, I'm still figuring them out. So I think, like, just to be part of that journey and to help people see that they're not alone, so they're not performing. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of this is like, oh, I'm supposed to be wanting to, like, be in a hookup culture. I'm supposed to want to mm-hmm. just have this. So if I want something different than that, then I feel out of the, like, my community. And belonging is so important when we're coming to college, like feeling like we have a community, feeling like we connect and belong. And so we're just sort of performing these other things like, oh, yeah, I have to, like, be into ethical non-monogamy because all of my community is. Well, maybe that's not you, and that's OK. Maybe, like, you think you have to be, like, having sex all of the time because everybody else is. Not everybody else is having sex all of the time. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think what, you know, April says is just so true. And so I'm just, like, validating you, April, to say that, like, we shouldn't be performing. We need to be exploring and allowing space to, like, shift our boundaries when we want to shift them, not when other people force that upon us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's fantastic. I just what you're saying is just amazing. You kind of mentioned this, too. But what are some topics that you've discussed on the show that you would want to discuss in the future, maybe? What are some of your favorite topics that you think are really important for the student body to be discussing?
I mean, I think all of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them on there. Maybe I'm a little biased. But, I mean, I think one of our first episodes, we kind of, our quickie episodes. So just to distinguish, we have episodes where we interview different NYU community members. And then we have these shorter episodes. We call them quickies because we're that, you know, funny in that way. And these quickie episodes are just like little snippets. And the first one, we kind of lay the groundwork on, like, what are the underlying root causes of sexual and relationship harm? And I think, like, to me, that one was really like, I have to do this one. This is, like, what my career is based on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we really want to talk about the oppressive structures that allow for sexual and relationship harm to continue, right? Because we often think about prevention in, like, bystander intervention, and that's great, and we need that. Or we think about, like, these protective factors or risk factors, when those are things that, like, we want to be in control of, but we can't control other people. Like, if other people act upon us, then, you know, yeah, we can't control that. We want to, And so I think for me, it was really important to put that episode first, because it's like, we're going to be talking about how ideological, institutional, interpersonal, and internalized oppression come out in all of these different areas, right? So we include that throughout as a theme. And, you know, you'll see that April's like, hey, Danielle, like, that's here we are again. I'm like, I know, I keep bringing it up. I'm so sorry. But I'm not sorry, because it's in everything that we do. And so that was really key for me. But I think, you know, we talk about communication, we talk about boundaries. But a couple of my favorites, and I'll let April talk in a moment, but like, I'm really looking forward to the one on masturbation that we have coming up. And then we're doing one on BDSM that I'm also looking forward
to
as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I think we do record these a little ahead of time. So I was listening to the masturbation episode today, and I am also very excited for that one to come out. I do, as a nurse, I guess I do think that the STI one is very important, because, you know, as we say in the episode, like, more than 50% of all STIs occur in the like 15 to 24 year old age range. And that is a lot of our population here at NYU. And so I think it's really important that people have the information that they need about STIs. And there's just, you know, a lot of us, we talk about in our sex ed, got the scare tactics of the bad things about STIs, and nobody talked about how common they are, and normalizing that, you know, almost everybody is going to have an STI at some point in their life, and that is okay. And we need to normalize that, and we need to be talking about it, and we need to encourage people to get tested and not be scared of getting tested. And so I think that episode was important to me. And then, you know, I was thinking about some of the questions that we ask in the interviews, and one of my favorite questions is about the myths that people have held on to, or judgments that they've held on to, because I feel like we've uncovered lots of myths so far in our interviews. And so it's really great to hear what people have. I mean, not great that they held on to these things, but that they've been able to overcome them, and to kind of name those myths for other people that are listening, to be like, oh yeah, I had that, and maybe I can move past that as well.
Yeah, I will also just say that I love some of our interviews as well. Like, we had
absolutely
Jason Pina, who is a vice president here at NYU. He was our very first episode. He's still, I think, to this day, like, our top number one, like,
most listened
to episode. We also have some really great ones coming up, too. I mean, we had Susie Jane Hunt, who is a Broadway actress, who teaches at Steinhardt. We have another really great professor Mel Maldonado Salicito. We have Professor Lauren Whitehead. We have someone from Moses Center. He wrote a book about sex for people who are on the autism spectrum. So I'm excited about that. We have a few more students as well. We're trying to get a few more students. So any students out there, we're still looking for this season for a few more students to come in, because we want them and have their experience share. Like, their sexual journeys can also be really helpful and informative to their community.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. That's so cool. I think I really love what you said, April, about like STI not just being like, you know, like something that you should prevent, like this bad thing, but also something that's really normal and common. So I think I feel like hearing that from a nurse is like super, like, not something that you hear every day. I feel like every time I engage with these things, like, every time I have like a STI scare, I'm like, oh my god, this is like a bad thing, like, I don't want to get it, or, you know, but it's also common, and I feel like a lot of people have these concerns. But also, like, the myths around STI, like, on dating apps, I'm on these like non-monogamous dating apps, and I would see like people say they're like STI status is clean, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm clean, or things like that. That's like really generalized terms, or like kind of like stigmatic terms.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, the opposite is dirty, and that's
exactly
terrible.
Exactly. Yeah. Saying like I'm clean is
exactly.
Yeah. That's so cool. I feel like you're covering some really cool topics. I'm really excited for like the BDSM episode. You said like masturbation. These are topics I feel like people just, even like, I feel like in private conversations, people are just not that comfortable talking about. So I feel like talking about it in a podcast, it's really cool.
Well, we're excited about it. It's one of the parts of my job that I'm really loving right now. So I hope that we can continue to grow our listeners and get more people involved and invested and, you know, keep having interesting topics and interesting people coming to be part of it.
Absolutely. Is there any topics that you find difficult to talk about? I know this is like a show that, you know, like we're trying to de-stigmatize things, like not kind of not treat anything as taboos. But is there anything that you feel like might be difficult at the moment, or just sensitive, you know, tender? I'm just curious if there's any.
I mean, I think we're always really cognizant in our podcast about activating anyone who has experienced trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had at least one person name that they've experienced trauma within someone that we interviewed. And so being really sensitive and supportive, and, you know, that person was really open, and I can't wait for that episode to come out because I think it will help, you know, others that have experienced that. But for me, I think I shared in one of the episodes recently that I was reading this book, Michael John Carley, who wrote this book on autism and sex. I was reading this book and it was on the subway and has these really great depictions of various different body types, various different orientations and gender identities depicted in this book, that it describes specific sexual acts because it's trying to help people know and sort of demystify, like, what does oral sex really mean? What does a hand job really mean? And so I'm reading this on the subway and I'm realizing these pictures are like, people are looking at me. And so for me, I found a boundary that I didn't know existed as I was doing this podcast. I'm like, I don't feel entirely comfortable having these, you know, illustrations out because people aren't really consenting to noticing this. And so through this podcast, I found, okay, well, like, I can't read this kind of thing on the subway, but that's my own personal boundary. I mean, other things, I think I'm pretty open and we try to create a space that's equitable. So if we're interviewing you, we're going to say, if you want to ask us and turn these questions around, April and I are willing to answer any of these questions that we ask you, right? Because we know that these things are difficult and have a stigma. And so if we're not willing to have the conversation, if we're not willing to put ourselves out there and be vulnerable, then how are we to expect that from you?
Right, exactly.
And I was going to add, like, I don't think that there's necessarily any topic I've come up against that I feel uncomfortable necessarily talking about. I think that there's definitely things I don't have a lot of knowledge about. And so I think that I want to make sure I gain knowledge before I, like, speak too much to a certain topic. You know, I don't want to give wrong information or say something hurtful. You know, we acknowledge that we may at times say the wrong thing and definitely encourage people to provide feedback, but I don't want to intentionally go in without proper knowledge and talking about something I'm not as familiar with. And then the other thing, like being in a studio like here, mm-hmm. I know there are other people listening, but it feels like it's just the three of us.
Yeah.
And I feel that same way when we're in the recording studio. Like, I'm not sure I could get up on a stage in a room full of hundreds or thousands of people and talk about some of the same things that we talk about on the podcast, but it just feels more comfortable in that space. And I'm able to be more vulnerable when I, like, don't think about who else is listening. And it's easier to just think, oh, Danielle and I are just having a conversation, or we're just having a conversation with the person we're interviewing. And it feels more comfortable that way, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with that. But I also think I could probably be one of those people who got up in front of thousands of people and talked about it. But, like, I can
maybe
see.
Maybe someday.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. But yeah, you're right. I feel like just from this conversation, it feels very intimate and it feels very a safe and comfortable environment to be speaking with you too. So even though I'm interviewing, but yeah. Okay, so one last question. So I feel like in our society right now, in like the larger political context, reproductive rights are being under attack. And I feel like queerness is being under attack, you know, like the Don't Say Gay bill. So with all these things going around that's kind of targeting youth and, you know, queer youth and just things around sex, how do you feel like, what is the importance or significance of hosting this podcast in this environment specifically? Like, why do we really need it now?
I mean, I think because of all the things that you've seen that people are trying to inhibit rights, then we need more conversations. We need more access. We need more information. We need people to know what's possible. We need people to understand what their rights and what services are out there, right? Because if people are trying to take them away, that means something, you know? Like, and so you need to know the value of, like, the rights that you have. And so I think that, like, we're here trying to make sure people, specifically at NYU, know the services that they have access to. We want people to, you know about STIs and know about the Sexpert. We want them to know about my program, because I go and we're promoting this, you know, all over, and it's like, oh, I didn't know you had a program where I could go and talk about relationships, like, you know, and talk about, like, we have these great workshops at the Counseling and Wellness Services, and mostly it's just people who go to Counseling and Wellness Services that access them. And it's like, where's the rest of the community? You know, like, we do this. April and I did the workshop, Let's Talk About Sex, this past October. So we did that. I do a workshop called Navigating Healthy Dating Relationships. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of others that are out there about procrastination and sleep hygiene and all these wonderful things. But, like, no one knows about them. And so I think, like, you know, again, it's sort of further away from maybe some of the reproductive and the queer stuff. But, like, we have specific things around, like, queer identities. And we want to, like, make sure you're taking care of yourself as you're engaging with all of these systems that can sometimes be oppressive, right? So we want to be a supportive space as well. And we want people to know what kind of services. And I'm sure I could say five other things, but I'm going to pause and, like, let April have some time too.
Yeah. I was just going to add that, you know, we're very intentional with our language in the podcast. And we want to make sure that, you know, even though we are cis heterosexual women, like, we want to make sure that, like, we bring in other voices to make sure that other voices are heard, but also in when it's just the two of us talking, making sure that the language is inclusive of all identities, because we don't want people to feel like an outsider when they're listening. We want them to see themselves or hear themselves in this podcast and get resources for whoever they are, whatever their identity is. We want to make sure everybody gets the resources that they need. And then speaking specifically to like the queer identities, I just wanted to name that at the health center, we have providers and counselors specifically that focus on transgender and non-binary students, providing services and getting them connected with hormones or surgeries or whatever it is that they want to feel like their identity and their gender that they identify as. We want to make sure that they have all the right services and all the right care. And so if that's you and you haven't gotten connected to the health center, I encourage you to check out those services. And, you know, we have lots of providers that are welcoming and very caring, and we'll get you the right services that you need.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And on that note, that's all for the rundown tonight. You just heard from Danielle Edman and April Fellers.
Ellenman.
Oh, yeah. My God.
No worries.
I'm so sorry. Ellenman.
No worries.
And if you liked what you heard or want to hear something different, or if you want to submit a tip for a story, you can email me at associatenews@wnyu.org. I hope you enjoyed the show today. And I will be here next Wednesday, 7 p.m. to bring you more local alternative news. So I'm Aria Young, and this has been The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM. Thank you for tuning in.